So, last question. What would you most like people to think about? So you could consider this your summary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think the thing to think about is, it goes by the initials WWB. What would be better than a fish farm or a fish factory? Because really, under EPA regulations, this is called a concentrated aquatic animal production facility. It's not really a farm. What would be better than that in our area? And in my mind, what would be better than that is to have a whole series of enterprises that actually depend on, restore, and enforce the natural productivity of the bay. We could, if we really wish, get back to the kind of conditions of productivity and sustainability that the bay used to enjoy before we became so extractive. That's primarily what we're looking at. We're looking at extractive industries up and down the coast of Maine. And I think Nordic, for all of its good intentions, unless they can really up their game, is going to be another extractive industry. And that bothers me. We have, south of this, hello, south of this location, already permitted 40, or at least 40 aquaculture sites that are growing various things in the bay. They've got licenses. They're owned by 18 different companies or small farms or families. And there's a model out there that we can import and use called Green Wave. Okay? It's being promoted by a group in Connecticut. They've got facilities out on the West Coast. It uses the full water column, not just the top or not just the bottom. They grow kelp. They grow oysters, they grow clams, they grow seaweed of various sorts, and they do it year-round. It has zero carbon footprint, and actually kelp absorbs carbon and phosphorus, and I think nitrogen, but I may get that wrong, and if I'm wrong, Kathleen, swap me. It uses zero energy, and it uses zero artificial inputs. You don't need to feed these things. They feed themselves. It is also useful for building reefs. If you need to protect your shoreline, these kinds of farms will do that. And they're low-tech. You just need $20,000, 20 acres of open water, and a boat. And GreenWave will show you how to do it. They'll also hook you up with a local infrastructure of food processing hubs that will make it possible for us to sell these kinds of products, which will give us food. And it will give us medicine, probably, and fibers for all we know. There's a lot out there that Mother Nature is willing to share. We just need to take advantage of it. So that's what I'm concerned about, and that's what I'll leave you with. Learn some more. I can give you some resources to check. Ask questions. Go to the public meetings. Participate in the permit process if you can. And learn what you can about what's going on around us so that someday we won't be unpleasantly surprised by what we've actually let in the door.
Okay, thank you, Andrew. So, Kathleen, what would you most like people to think about regarding this issue?
Could you put the last... I have one more slide. Okay, so I just want to... just follow up on something. I think after the 0.4 micron filter, there's a UV treatment to kill or to destroy viruses and bacteria. I could be wrong, but that's my understanding. So as far as what people would like to think about, how do we feed the world? Everything we do will have some kind of impact. Like I said earlier, no solutions will be acceptable to everyone. But I think we all need to think about where we get our food. And nobody wants anything like this in their backyard. And I've worked a lot with constituents, concerned citizens, and aquaculturists who are putting their operations in estuaries. and coastal areas. And believe me, every single one gets a lot of opposition because people don't want any kind of aquaculture facility in front of their property or in an area that was traditionally used for lobstering. Or there's conflict in all of it. So there are no easy decisions and no easy choices and sometimes no clear choices, unfortunately. And I'd like people to think about, if there are problems, if these nutrient levels are a concern and they're too high, can we all work together to mitigate them? I believe we can. And I believe that if these levels are too high, that DEP will be involved. I have confidence that they would be involved. And the company will have to further mitigate their nitrogen releases, which they can do. It just costs more, right? Can be done. We have to make them do it. We have to hold them accountable. And also, one thing that was mentioned was the kelp farming. This is something that's, we call it marine macroalgae, but seaweed farming is a big thing in Maine now. It's a growing thing. And the seaweed farms do need a nitrogen supply. This is something that might be looked into. Could you put some kind of macroalgal farming down line? But I'd also like to think of, for everyone to think about joining a monitoring effort. And this group, MCOA, that I can advise, they would like to monitor in Belfast. They wanted to monitor in Belfast for a long time. They need people with boats and people to volunteer their time to take out the technician and someone to volunteer to assist. So any stakeholders who are interested in this, please contact Sarah Gladue. Her contact information is there. And we would love to set up monitoring before this facility goes in so we know what the background levels are. And, you know, the entire Belfast Harbor. And north to see what's coming from the Penobscot. If we get high levels, it might be coming from the Penobscot. And so I would encourage you all to get involved. And sometimes we feel helpless, but if you're actually out there monitoring, you know, Nordic Aquafarms doesn't tell us when we can monitor. We can monitor whenever we want. We just need the manpower to do it. So please contact Sarah. If you'd like to be involved. And I guess the last thing I would like to say is that this is really good that you all came out and that you are concerned. And you may not realize this, many of you may not, but on the Penobscot River upstream is the largest methyl mercury contaminated site in the world. And that happened without any of us knowing anything. So we need to stay involved. We need to hold people accountable. Please don't dismiss projects out of hand because they're huge or different. Hold people accountable. You know, support the projects that make sense. Because I truly believe we do need aquaculture to help meet the food needs of the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. Eric, what would you most like people to think about regarding this issue?
Thank you. I've got 3 points here, maybe four. I'll be as quick as possible. And they're from my perspective, maybe from a Belfast City Council perspective or also a parent, the last point. But when I'm looking at the size of this project, right, and the scope and all of that, my mind goes to Jackson Lab and Bar Harbor because it's tucked between Bar Harbor and Acadia. And it's a great, pretty sure it's probably a good tax property tax involvement into the city of Bar Harbor. So I think to myself, for the future of Belfast, what are we going to look like in 20, 30, 40 years? And who's going to live here? And we'll all be gone. So it's very important, again, to protect what we have and to develop what we have sustainably for the next generations to come. And not in a chicken blood in the bay way either, but in a good way. Front Street Shipyard came to Belfast in 2011, apparently on a handshake loan from a gentleman named Texas Jack financed their whole project. 19 land change agreements later, between the city of Belfast and Front Street, what was what I would call an urban destitute area is now not, and now is very popular, very visually arresting, very much a driver. And when you think of Belfast, you think of these people that work down there. We had 42 empty storefronts in 2011 when they made an announcement, and 6 months later we had none. And those were all from the ancillary businesses that said, hey, Front Street Shipyard is coming. So from an economic viewpoint, not only am I looking at Nordic, but I'm looking at their, for lack of a better phrase, freeze-dried fish poop that they're going to freeze pack and sell to farmers and ancillary businesses that would be involved with that. So I think economically it's good. I go back to final point of, if you Google Belfast 20, 30 years from now, what's going to be the main theme? Is it going to be Front Street? Is it going to be Bank of America? Is it going to be people? Is it going to be the first? It's going to be everything. And Nordic might be a part of that equation. And how do we feel about that? And how do they help the city of Belfast sustain itself for the future? I did ask my oldest. We were down in Boston yesterday. And I said, and the Belfast High School for midterms, their English teacher, the midterm question was, do you support the fish farm? If so, why? If not, why? That was the midterm. So it's a relevant topic with the youth of the town. And the answer I got, to paraphrase, was Belfast is dying. It's all old people, rich people, and empty houses. Belfast needs young people, jobs young people can do, and housing. So I thought I'd throw that in there because it's true. And from the mouths of young people, sometimes I get wisdom. Sometimes I get lip, but sometimes I get wisdom. So we have, do we have a housing crisis in Belfast? Yeah. We're looking, right? We're looking up at Congress, the old Public Works. Do we have jobs? This would add some. This is an international type of business. This is big and splashy, for lack of a better phrase. So Belfast would be another destination for things like that. It would be another dot on the map that makes Belfast potentially unique. So all of that in line with my thinking is the cautious approach I agree with. Not being an expert, the more monitoring I agree with, the more studying and answers to questions from the company I agree with, why the hell would I not agree with it? After all that's said and done, can they do it? And will they do it? And can we help them be successful? I think it's very important, not just for Belfast, but for the region, maybe the whole state ultimately, because there's an eel farm now down south. But is this going to continue to be a driving force for the future economic position of Maine? I don't know the answer to that, but right now, it looks promising. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, panel. So that concludes the initial portion of the program. We have a little bit of time.